Believe it or not, this is the news according to me. Well, it's Tuesday morning, March 16th, 2021. And your eyes do not deceive you. I cannot talk this morning. I apologize for coughing. I normally mute myself when I cough, and if I cough, which is, you know, quite frequently, I cough most of the time. I normally go through life muted because I continuously cough. Right now what you're hearing is actually a cough, but I'm able to talk with my cough. I'm coughing. It's a toughing. It's caulking. It's caulking. Anyway, so the point is, last night, in case you wondered, there was no show. Those of you who were going through withdrawals. I didn't have a chance to do a show. Got home. It was kind of a crazy night. Had a lot of other work to do. Got home. I had to do some things, and it's one of those nights where, this is day four for me on the road, and, I'm a little tired. So I've been getting up at about I think yesterday was 3 o'clock in the morning, and you drive a couple hours a day, don't really sleep well, you got a cat that likes to play at like 1:30 in the morning, stuff like that. You know, it's typical stuff, typical life stuff. And again, I'm drinking sweet tea this morning, hot tea with honey and a little bit of liquefied coconut oil. Because that's what I need this morning. It has honey in it. I don't know if I mentioned that or not, but I didn't put as much sugar, but I did put a little more honey in it this morning for my throat. And I apologize for all the noise I'm making here. Like I said, anything I do in this car. I, by the way, I'm in my car again. Well, you would think I'm living in my car because of what I'm doing here. And someday I will explain, you know, all this. Someday in the future, maybe within the next couple of years, maybe episode 1000, I will give you my life story, because I'm sure you're all wanting to hear about it. There's some interesting stuff going on in the news, and I'm kind of a little bit behind. One thing I wanted to cover last night was this whole Tucker Carlson thing. And the issue, now I guess there's been more than one, there's been some official postings from the military, from military websites and Twitter accounts, I guess. And let me just say right off the bat, first thing let me say is I have the utmost respect for our soldiers, those who serve. Just the sheer nature of the job, of the what you have to go through to get there, to be there, that in and of itself deserves respect. So therefore, you get my respect for that. Now, that being said, individuals who act inappropriately can very quickly lose that respect with me. And if they misbehave, which is expected of any human being, one thing that is expected, especially a higher ranking leader, first of all, I don't expect leadership within the armed forces to act inappropriately. And if they do, they should be reprimanded, possibly have their rank possibly questioned. There's a lot of things going on there. And it's a pretty serious issue. When the military starts to get involved in civilian affairs with regard to making comments about individuals, commentators, whatever the case may be, this is inappropriate. It's seriously inappropriate. And there's where the apology needs to be, and it needs to be a real apology, and not some kind of phony, lame explanation of, you know, kind of backpedaling type thing, trying to excuse yourself. It was out of line. The one report I heard was totally out of line, and it ticks me off. And it's I know this kind of individual. And I know how they are to their superiors. I also know how they treat their underlings. I'll just call them underlings because I'm not going to go anywhere. It's those who serve under them. Let's put it that way. I've known individuals like this before, and I know exactly how they are. They're a very two-faced type of individual. They speak a certain way when they are in a certain situations. Let's just put it that way. So the officer, the one in question that I am most familiar with, that I've actually heard and seen, I don't know, I'm not going to mention the guy's name. You might recognize his voice. And I'm going to try to play this guy. Hopefully you can hear this okay. I'm playing this from my iPad into my microphone. So as soon as that truck drives through, and a loud truck there just drove past my car. I'm gonna play this video, and hopefully you can hear the audio well enough. Let me know if you can't.
That Mr. Carlson produced as he referred to pregnant women in the military. I'll remind everyone that his opinion, which he has a right to, is based off of actually 0 days of service in the armed forces. Let me offer you my opinion. My opinion is based off of 28 years of actual service in the military, 28 years in the Marine Corps, in combat operations out at sea, and in garrison. And so he was talking specifically about pregnant women in the armed forces today and how it makes us less lethal and less fit and less ready. Let me tell you where he's wrong. Those decisions were made by medical professionals, by commanders, and our civilian leadership that allows for women to have more time with their children, to recuperate, to get fit and ready, to take that time that's necessary that our medical professionals know is needed, which actually makes us a more lethal and ready and fit force. Let's remember that those opinions were made by an individual who has never served a day in his life.
All right. For those of you who have not heard the actual clip of Tucker Carlson and what he said with regard to the military and the pregnant women in the military issue, the context of Tucker's, it's a very fine point. It's a very fine line that Tucker, in terms of his context that he was speaking of. And this officer obviously was triggered by something. And he went off. And if you notice, one of the first things he said was, "I will share my opinion." Okay, you have a right to your opinion. Now, keep in mind, this individual is in his office, in his official office, wearing his uniform, giving a response and giving his opinion. This is where I have a problem. This is the main issue I have a problem with. Nobody asked for your opinion. You were not asked for your opinion. And frankly, this kind of, you know, I understand your passion. I understand that you think that you have to rise up and defend the Marines. First of all, this is beneath the Marines, in my opinion. It goes to a point of, you know, a Marine should be able to take someone spitting in their face. Not that they deserve it, not that they should be spat upon. They should take that and have all the meekness in the world to be able to just take it. And it's a very fine line here, because if you understand what meekness is not weakness. And that's where people misunderstand this. Meekness is a person who has the ability to rip your throat out and destroy you completely, utterly, and yet has the discipline and the ability to not do that when you might deserve it. That's meekness. Meekness is being able to, you have all the power of the U.S. military behind you, and yet you choose not to use it in it just to be a bully, basically. It's the opposite of a bully. Let's put it that way. It's a person who could be a bully who isn't, who chooses not to be. That's a simple way of putting it, I guess. This individual is not that, and he's out of line. The U.S. military is not, their opinion is, I respect their opinion, I respect his opinion, I respect, you know, all that. He has no business, if he wants to have a discussion with me individually, as an individual, person to person, that's fine. Posting something for the world to see, and as a official response to something that Tucker said, is out of line. It's just completely out of line. It's over the line, I should say. And that's where I have a problem. It's beneath the Marines to be involved in such a petty thing. Now he claims in his faux apology, which is not an apology at all. He claims he is not meant to be political. He's not going to be political. He's not going to personally attack him. Well, in a sense, it is. Now, here's the other way he could have done this. He could have come out and said, there are some people saying some things about people in the military and pregnant women in the military. I want to share with you my opinion on that and the philosophy behind, and explain why it's important that we understand the role of pregnant women in the military. He could have come out with that, and it wouldn't have been directed at a particular individual. First of all, he talks about about Tucker not having any experience in the military. He has 0 years of service. That's irrelevant. It's totally irrelevant. With regard to your opinion, with regard to trying to belittle, and he claims he's not belittle. Oh, he's got a right to his opinion, and I respect that. It's kind of like a faux, I'm throwing this out there, but I don't really mean it. It's shut up and do your job. That's basically what I'm trying to say. I think that's the point that I'm trying to make here. We're not asking the military to get involved in private affairs, unless you're off duty and you're in a personal, private situation where you can share privately. If you're sitting in your office in your uniform, responding on an official website, an official Twitter account, whatever it is, social media site, platform, it's you're out of line. And I guess Ted Cruz is going after some people. I don't know if it's this guy or if some others. Here is his supposed apology that he now comes up with. He's calling it an apology, I guess. I don't know. He got a lot of responses from what he said, and I assume that not all of them were kind, which is also out of line. There's no reason why you can't at least be civil in this issue. I appreciate the fact the guy's served a military. However, I also have a problem with this kind of service. And I know this type of individual, and I'm not saying that there's no place in the military for this type of individual. I'm just telling you, I know how this kind of individual operates. And unfortunately, there are a lot of them in the military that operate this way. There are a lot of senior officials that act like this. And I know how they are in the civilian world. But let's listen to the rest of this, his apology, supposedly, his supposed apology. Let's listen to this.
Wow. Last 24 hours have been pretty intense for me, ladies and gentlemen. And I just wanted to briefly say thank you to everyone that wrote me, that everyone that called, texted, sent me a message on Twitter.
Now, excuse me, I want to point out right now, all of a sudden now he's in a car, he's wearing a T-shirt. He's not in his uniform, he's not in the office. And so it's a very different situation now. I don't know what platform this was put on. I got this off of another YouTube video. I scammed it. I'm scabbing it. So I don't know what the context is, how he sent this out, whether he sent it out as his own personal Twitter account. I have no idea. Let's listen to more.
Facebook, I appreciate it. And I even appreciate the fact that those of you had different opinions posted those as well. What I won't do is engage in a personal attack with Mr. Carlson
That's
or anybody.
Did.
I don't believe in doing that. I think that my comments stand on themselves. I was making a non-political statement
non-political.
About my service members and teammates in the United States Armed Forces. I don't make political comments, and I certainly don't attack our media. I think they have a right, and it's a necessity of this nation to have a fair and free press. And so, Mr. Carlson and everyone that's reporting stories, please continue to do so. I think it's important that I just make a comment that I say, my comments were based on 28 years of service. He doesn't have any service. That does not mean his points aren't valid. And so I think everyone has a right to.
Yeah, that's all I got for that. This is what I call backpedaling. This is a back paddle apology. Trying to make the initial comments fit, even though they were out of line. And so, I'm not going to beat this horse. You know, it's all I can say is the guy needs to be held accountable for what he did. And it sets an example, I think, in the military. This is a slippery slope if they start going down this road. Because it can become a very politicized. There's enough going on right now. If you understand what's happening right now with the Biden administration and the way they're manipulating the National Guard and the military itself, we are headed in a really weird direction, very strange direction. One of the other things that's in the news right now, and I just finally got an understanding of it last night. I was trying to figure out what was going on with this Iowa race. And let me, I need to pull up the lady's name because these two women look so much alike that I don't know. if you're just voting based on looks, I'm not sure that it really matters which one you vote for because they look like twins. At least the pictures I've seen, they look like twins. However, there's my little notepad. And of course I pull up the wrong note there right off the bat. So let's go there. Let's go here. There we go. This didn't update. So there's the whole Iowa thing. Apparently there is well, that's nice. There it is. I can't think of the woman's name. There's two ladies out there running for Congress. This thing went through a vote. The Republican Congresswoman won initially. They did what's called a canvass as well as a recount. A canvass this is where I was enraged by the Georgia election issue, because they called the recount. This will be a recount and a canvass. A canvas is where you go through certain percentages of every precinct, at least in most states. What they would define as a canvas is where you actually look at the ballots themselves. You verify that the ballots are genuine. To do a true canvas, you have to look at every ballot. This is what they did in Florida in 2000. They had to go through every ballot, the whole hanging chads issue. And they had to validate every single one of them. They had these little punch machines that you would punch and it would leave. If you didn't punch it cleanly, there was a hanging chad. So that's what they had to verify. This situation is they verified the ballots. They did an actual canvas. Did I say Pennsylvania earlier? I meant Georgia. In Georgia, if I didn't say Georgia, I meant Georgia. In Georgia, they came right out and said, we will do it, because the count was so close in Georgia that they had to automatically do a, even if no neither candidate would have wanted a recount, it would have gotten a recount because the election law states that if it's within a certain margin, they have to automatically do a recount. So he came out, the guy who was in charge of it, what's his name? Schwindler, I think is his name. He came out and he said, this will be a canvas and a recount. There was no canvas. They didn't even look at 1,500 ballots out of the millions that were there. But he wanted to make it sound like this is going to be conclusive. We're going to do it. And it's going to be once and done. And then when they went to do an actual audit with the Georgia University of Georgia, they didn't even do a scratch. They just took, I think that was like 1,500 ballots as well that they looked at and to verify whether or not they were real or not. It was a cross section. 1,500 ballots. Which I don't know if that was even 1% of the ballots. So it's just that kind of ridiculousness. Now, Iowa did do a canvas. Every precinct. Anything that was in question was questioned. It all went through a secondary process, recount. She won again. The State Board of Elections then certified it and put it forward. There was a vote in the House, originally in the House of Representatives in Congress, accepting the verified results. Just like they do for the president. And that she was voted in. There was no objection at all. Well, then Nancy Pelosi finds out that guess how much she won by? What it came down to was the certified votes that were presented by the election board. She won by 6 votes. In that process, now Nancy Pelosi says, we're going to overturn it. Excuse me? This is the process of our democracy that you so solemnly swear to uphold in the temple of your democracy, and now all of a sudden, you're going to overturn it because you don't like the results. I am, and she's already been sworn in. She was sworn in January 3rd. She is literally, her position is potentially could be overturned. For the very same reason, and this is why I have had it with calling out their hypocrisy, because that is exactly who they are. If there was anything to define them, it would be double standard hypocrisy. The end justifies the means, and they don't care about the morals they try to put on other people because they don't live by them themselves. And the Democrats have done this for years. The establishment Democrats have done this for years. And the establishment Republicans have tried to kowtow to it for years as well. And this is the reason that when President Trump came along, this is why people liked him. When they came after him, he pushed back for 4 years. And they didn't know what to do with that. It enraged them, and they got to the point where all they could do was start calling him names. He's a racist. He's a racist. He's a racist. Anybody who follows him is a racist. Anybody who votes for him is a racist. This is a racist nation all of a sudden. We had a black president for 8 years. All of a sudden, we're all racist again. Everything's racist. That term gets thrown around now like water. I think I might have mentioned this in an earlier show, but I was up in Appleton, Wisconsin, and I had a day. I had almost a whole day up there. I was sitting around, kind of had some free time, and so I started looking around. I was thinking about, and this is during the COVID thing, of course, and I wanted to see what was open, so I was looking at like places to eat, stuff like that. And there's this farmer's market that was just down the street, about two blocks away. This was on a weekend. I think it was on a Saturday. And I got up that morning. I was like, I'm going to try to find some breakfast. Maybe something to eat. And so I looked on some of the reviews about this farmer's market thing. So I was looking to see what was around. And I looked at the reviews. So one review was kind of interesting. Talked about how you're not allowed to have your pets. You can't have dogs there at the farmer's market. Now, keep in mind, this is an outside of farmer's market type thing that they have every weekend. Apparently, it was closed because of COVID. I don't know. But some of the comments were, I read back a couple months into the comments. One of the comments was that they didn't think it was right that you couldn't, that they didn't allow you to have your dogs there at the farmer's market. They thought that was, the comment that they made was, it's racist. It's racist to not, I guess dogs are a race now, I guess. Or maybe certain races have dogs and certain races don't. I don't know. I'm not exactly sure how that works out to be racist. I'm not sure how that fits, but apparently it's racist. Everything's racist. Everything is racist. For those of you who haven't seen the Lego movie, you won't understand that. So this election goes through, and now Nancy Pelosi wants to do this thing with this individual who won, was certified the winner, but now all of a sudden they're going to overturn it. She doesn't like the results. We're going to go after it. Now, again, keep in mind, these are the people who are all upset that certain individuals were upset on January 6th. And in fact, on November 4th, by golly, if you didn't go along with the results of the election, you were a racist, and you were an insurrectionist, and you were threatening our democracy. Nothing to see here. Move along. Oh, those boxes of ballots underneath the table? Yeah, those were there. That's a normal procedure. That's normal procedure. Standard procedure, we bring a table in, cover it up. We put some boxes underneath there, and then when everybody leaves, then we bring those boxes out and count them. Because those are secret ballots. We can't let anybody see those, because those are the sensitive ballots. Those are special ballots. Yeah. That's all standard procedure. Nothing to see here. So, this is the kind of thing that goes on all the time. And Republicans are just going to sit back and watch it happen. I guarantee you. We're not in power now. We don't have the House. This is why we need to win back the House in 2020, 2022. That's why we need to win the House back. You know what? I'm almost at the point where I don't care if they win the House back or not. I think that you know, we had our line in the sand a few months ago, and the Republicans caved. If we do win the House back, what difference is it going to make at this point? What difference does it make? What difference does it make?
At this point, what difference does it make?
Because all we're doing is encouraging the swamp. Oh, the swamp won. And frankly, I think that the swamp is chomping at the bit to win back the House without Trump. Now, here's the point that they're going to have to reconcile. Trump is very aggressive right now, and obviously he hasn't even begun to fight, but he is going to primary all these rhinos. He's going to be behind supporting anybody who wants to challenge a rhino, anybody who's on his list. The primary is going to be tough because people are seeing what's going on right now in the nation. And, you know, everybody talked about this. If they get in, this is what they're going to do. Now, I guarantee you, once they get some of this stuff done, one of the things they're going to do, and they're not going to pull it right away. Now, they've already tried to get the voter law changed. The whole voting bill that came through was basically a takeover, a federal centralized takeover of our voting system, state voting system. And they are trying to actually implement and make legal all the things they did that were illegal in this last election. They're going to force all those issues onto every state, all that stuff onto every state. And because they figured out that, hey, that's the way we can win. And if you don't go along with it, you're disenfranchising people. That's how they call it. So. And of course, then we got all these people coming across the border. It's estimated in February, we had 101,000 individuals come across the border. I guess we got somebody standing there counting it, counting them as they're coming across. Instead of stopping them, we're counting them. I guess that's how that works. I don't know. It's an estimate, but I'm not sure how they get those estimates or where those numbers come from. But Now, the Biden administration will not allow those numbers to be put out. They're denying the numbers. They're saying, oh, you got to go to Homeland Security to get the numbers. Homeland Security says we can't publish those numbers because the administration tells us we can't put them out. So that it's just one thing after another. Now, the other issue that's going on here is this issue on the border. Well, while I'm on this subject, I'm probably going to have to conclude with this because it looks like we're going to be almost done here. The issue on the border right now is that these camps that they have set up. There's one facility that has, for instance, this is just one facility in particular. It was designed to hold 700 people. It is currently holding over 2,000 people. They're three times over capacity. And the sad part of this is that they're also putting people out in tents. Now, this is during a pandemic. During a time when we're supposed to be concerned about this deadly disease that kills everybody, every community has mass graves right now. They're just dumping people, you know, just pushing them in with bulldozers. And I'm not trying to make light of it, but there is an over-exaggeration. They have created, the media has created a monster. They have created this thing called COVID. They've also created this thing called racism and Me Too and all this other stuff. And unfortunately, they were the ones involved in most of this stuff, and now they're starting to eat their own. And now their own are starting to come out and criticize them. People like Sarah Silverman, she's actually further left, and they're not far enough left for her. Everybody says, oh, she's coming back to the right. No, she's not. She's further left than they are. As well as people like Bill Maher and people like that. They're out there saying, you know, cancel culture's got to go. And of course, Cuomo is even crying, in his situation, he's crying about cancel culture. It's cancel culture. No, That's not cancel culture. He's trying to use a particular thing to say that's who's attacking him. That's who's coming after him. No, Governor. It's not cancel culture. It's just culture. Culture is against you. You're no longer an insider because you're on the outside. Have a great day, everybody. And God bless. I will have a show this evening. I almost guarantee.